Let's open our Bibles this morning for Bible study to the book of Romans and the 10th chapter. I'm not sure why I feel so emotional today. I believe the Lord is here. I don't like emotional preachers. Let's read together from Romans chapter 10. And I want to begin in verse 9 and read through verse 17 with you. The Apostle Paul writes here and he says in verse 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses resulting in salvation. Look at verse 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Whoever believes. And the point for pointing that out is to say to you and me today that the believing is our responsibility and dependent upon us. And God's not picking and choosing who can believe and who can't believe, who will not believe and who will believe. It's incumbent upon us, but the point is that every single one of us has the opportunity to be this whosoever, this person that believes. We have the opportunity to be that person of faith and who believes in the Lord Jesus. Because he goes on to say in verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who will call upon him. That's awesome. There's enough of God to go around. There's enough of God to save us all. There's enough of God to bless us all. Whosoever. Verse 13, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? In other words, before you call on Jesus, you got to hear about Jesus. Before you hear about Jesus, somebody's got to tell you about Jesus. Okay? There's his point. How will they hear without a preacher? How will they hear unless somebody tells them? Verse 15. How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? In other words, there were places where the word of the Lord went forward and people actually made a choice not to believe what they were hearing about God. Comes back to the same point. We have a choice to make. It's our choice. It's our liberty to make a decision to believe in the Lord, to believe in who He is, to believe in what He can do. We can choose to believe or we can choose not to believe. The choice is ours. But whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 17. Isaiah says in verse 16, however, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, or by the word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing. Those who believed in order to call on the name of the Lord came to faith because somebody told them about the Lord. Faith came by hearing. That's my message for you today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today that you have created the hearing ear. And Father, you desire to speak to all of us today And I pray that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. And Lord, I believe you want to speak to each one of us uniquely about our life and our journey and our walk and our needs. And I pray that you give us uniquely ears to hear what you're saying to us today, so that faith might come and the doorway to your great power might be open before us. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. I want this morning to wrap up the messages that we've been talking about for a number of weeks now, as we've been sharing on the subject of faith and how you and I are to have a constant and continual faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A living faith, not just a faith that we have when we come together on Sunday morning and we sing our songs and we get emotional and we have a feel-good high, and then we leave the church and we leave our faith in the, well, I started to say pew, but we don't have pews. We leave our faith in our padded chairs and we go out into the world and do our own thing. No, God wants us to live by our faith in Him every day. Every day looking to the Lord. Every day trusting in the Lord. Every day having a hope and an expectation that He who created the heavens and the earth can do something in the affairs of our life and can turn our lives around in such a way that not only are we blessed, and please understand, as much as God wants to bless us, please understand that that's not the primary reason God does things in our lives. God does things in our lives to bless us, but the ultimate end of all that He's wanting to do is that He might be glorified. That He might be glorified in the earth through what He does in your life and in my life. And so for the last several weeks now, we've been talking about this and we've been looking at various examples from the Scriptures of the way God moved in the lives of people who had faith in Him to do so and the victories that they won. We looked at the story of David and Goliath many weeks ago, and we saw the little child, as it were, going against a great and mighty warrior. But because the child had God, and because the child was a man of faith, a person of faith, that little child was able to overcome that great obstacle of standing in front of him, and he won a great victory. And it pictures the victory that God has for us over the obstacles in our lives that seem so insurmountable. But God. We looked at the story of Bartimaeus, how he had faith to receive his sight. We looked at Abraham a couple of times and we saw how Abraham had great faith in the Lord to provide a son that he promised, a faith so strong, a faith that caused him to stand for 25 years. That's awesome to me. 25 minutes is about my maximum. When I ask the Lord, when I pray, if it's not done in a little while, it's easy for me to get discouraged. 25 years. Romans chapter 4 told us last week that in hope against hope, Abraham believed. He believed that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And for 25 years, he waited on God. And God kept his word. And God gave him that promised son. So many scriptures, so many examples that we've looked at. I shared personal stories with you about how God has done things in our own home and in our family, our children, various illnesses that they've had, the promise that God gave to Becky and I that He would give us a daughter. And I'll just believe in God, trusting in the Lord. And God was faithful to keep His word to us and answered our prayers. I want to share just one more with you if I can this morning, and then turn a corner and wrap this series of messages up. I want to share with you one more story from Luke chapter 7. And it's a story of a centurion. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to look at Luke chapter 7. It's in Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. But I want to look at at Matthew's account of it in his gospel in Matthew chapter 8. Because this story is just a little bit different The other stories that we've looked at in the scripture all had to do with Jewish people, people that we would consider to be covenant people of God, and how God responded to their faith and brought great blessing into our life. The gentleman today that we're looking at is not a Jewish person. He's a Roman. He's a Gentile. He's a centurion. It means he's a ruler over 100. And this Gentile also finds the favor of the Lord because of his faith in the Lord Jesus. In Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 5, it says, when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Jesus has given his word. His word cannot fail. The centurion said, Lord, now look at what the centurion says. When you see the faith that this centurion has, he says, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this. And he does it. Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled. And he said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. Now I want you to look at the faith of this man first of all. He says, Jesus, you don't even need to bother coming to my house. All you've got to do is speak a word and my servant will be healed. And then he goes on to describe why he understands Jesus is able to bring healing in that fashion. He says, I recognize you as a man of authority and a man who has authority over sickness and disease. He said, the reason I recognize authority is because I am a man of authority. I'm submitted to authority myself. I'm a man of authority. There are people over me. I give orders, they obey. Here's what he's saying to Jesus. Jesus, all you need to do, because you're a man of authority over sickness and disease, all you need to do, Jesus, is give the order. And that illness will obey you because you're Lord over it and it must bow its knee. And Jesus' response is, wow. Jesus says, I haven't seen such faith in anyone in Israel. This is awesome. Now look down at verse 13. Jesus said to the centurion, go, it shall be done for you, watch, as you have believed. According to your faith. And the servant was healed that very hour. Notice again that this faith, this great faith, is the key to him receiving what he needed from the Lord. Question we want to ask you this morning, how did he come to have this kind of faith? How did the centurion come to have this kind of faith? Because listen, if we can find out how he came to have this kind of faith, you and I can come to have this kind of faith as well. I remember years ago, please understand that we can. Okay, this kind of faith that we're reading about in the Bible today, this kind of faith that we've been talking about for weeks now, this kind of faith is the faith that every single one of us can have if we will simply purpose that we're going to have it and do the things that are necessary. And we'll talk a little bit about these kinds of things today. But I'm just telling you, you can have the kind of faith that opens the door for the activity of God in your life. I remember years ago, we were in a Bible study at another church. And we'd just begun to learn about these things about faith and trusting the Lord and seeing God move and just beginning to see God really answer some prayers in our own lives and this kind of thing. Well, we're just excited. When you find something new, you just get excited about it, you know. And we were finding God in a new way and we're just really excited about it. We're in this Bible study at this other church and this happened to be the Bible study that night, just happened to be on the subject of prayer and faith. Boy, I was just pumped. I was excited about that. And so we were talking about it, and we read the scripture in Mark 11, 22. We've read it several times, 22 to 34. Jesus says, have faith in God. Well, let me just rabbit trail right there for a minute. If Jesus says, have faith in God, how many of you know you can have faith in God? Wouldn't it be cruel if Jesus were to say to you, have faith in God, and oh, by the way, you can't really have it?
No, he didn't say that. He said, have faith in God, because he wants us all to have it, because he knows what the Father is capable of in our lives. If we will have faith, if we will trust God, if we will let him have control. So we're in this Bible study and we're pumped and we're talking about faith and we're reading these scriptures. And an elder of the church, after we're talking about all this kind of stuff, an elder in the church says, he said, yeah, but that's just a faith that nobody can have. And I went, just sucked the life right out of me, you know. Just sucked anything positive just right out of the atmosphere for him to say, this is like an elder in the church. And by the way, and this is just a rabbit trail on that. How many of you know, if you're going to be a person of faith, you really need to surround yourself with people of faith. Because people who don't believe will just suck the life right out of you. This is another reason, brother and sister, this is another reason why we need one another in the body of Christ, and we need to gather together as Christians to encourage one another, to build up each other, to challenge each one of us in our faith and in our spiritual journey to continue to trust the Lord. Be there for each other, lean on one another. Because look, there's enough negativity out there in the world to just suck the life out of you, see. So we need to come together and be encouraged as we walk and as we journey. But this attitude that, well, nobody can have this kind of faith. And I'm thinking, well, why did Jesus say have faith in God if we can't have faith in God? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. And so I want us to look at this passage of Scripture, and I want us to see, based on what we read in Romans and what we read about this Roman centurion, I want you to see the faith of this man. Luke's account of this same story of the Roman centurion says this. He's got a slave who is homesick. He's at the point of death. But then it says this in Luke chapter 7, I believe it's verse 3, it says, after hearing about Jesus. After hearing about Jesus. What did Romans 10:17 say? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing. And after hearing about Jesus, this centurion had great faith to expect that just based on the word of Jesus alone, his servant would be made completely well. And so this morning I want to talk about this for just a moment. If this is the key, hearing about Jesus, hearing the word of the Lord, I want to talk this morning about some key points where hearing God is concerned. Because I want to say to you today, God wants to speak to every one of us. Now, I don't know why it is. A lot of people get freaked out by that. When you say God wants to talk to you, or when you say, you know, God told me this, or God told me that, or God spoke to me and said this, a lot of people just freak out. And they say, you mean God talks to you? Brother and sister, our response to that question ought to be a most definitive yes. Yes, he does. We're not the freak if God's not talking to you. I don't know why it is. In religious circles, some Christian people will think, God talks to you? Do you understand today, brother and sister, you were created for communion with God. For fellowship, for communion. You read in the Bible, and God walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day. And God still wants to talk to us today. I just want to tell you, God is talking to us today. God is speaking to us today. God is speaking to you and to me today. The question is, are we listening to what God is saying? Are we hearing what God is saying? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. So the question then becomes, are we hearing what God is saying? How many of you know, you married people in particular, let's just go there. How many of you know what the key to a good relationship is in marriage? Don't say money. How many of you know what a key to a good relationship is? It's communication, isn't it? Most problems in marriage can be fixed if a husband and wife will sit down and talk to each other. Not at each other, Not over each other, but to each other. Okay? And how many of you know the key to good communication? Don't say shouting. It's not that either. The key to good communication is really listening. Listening. Doing what you need to really hear what your spouse is saying. And what does that mean for us, especially for us guys? For us guys, because most of us are so single-minded, we can't do more than one thing at a time. And for us guys, in order to really hear and listen to our spouses, we have to lay aside what we're doing. We have to turn off everything else. We have to turn our attention directly to our spouse. We have to give her our complete and undivided attention. And we have to pay attention. And we have to hear and listen. Listen, the same is true where our relationship with God is concerned. I'm afraid that many of us are trying to have a relationship with God on the fly. You know, we're just in a hustle all the time. And we toss up a quick prayer and hope it sticks. And maybe God will respond in some kind of way. And we call that a relationship with God. The key to a good relationship with the Lord is the same thing. It's shutting down everything else, turning our attention to the Lord, making Him our focus, and really tuning in to the voice of God so that we can hear what He wants to say. It's what the psalmist says in Psalm 46 and verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." My translation actually says, "Cease striving. Cease striving and know that I am God." In order for us to really know God, in order for us to really recognize the voice of God when He speaks, in order for us to really tune into the Lord, we've got to cut out all the other stuff that goes on in our lives and focus on God so that we can tune in on the voice of the Lord. Because God wants to speak to us today. God wants to speak to you. God's got a plan for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got direction for you. He loves you. He just wants to have fellowship with you. And He wants to speak to you and me today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is a familiar passage, I'll bet you, to just about all of you in verse 9. The problem is that all too often we stop at verse 9. Now listen to it. It says this: "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and it's not entered into the heart of man all that God has prepared for those who love Him." And we hear that quoted all the time. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man all that God has for him. Eye hadn't seen. Well, we hadn't seen it. Ear hadn't heard. Well, we hadn't heard it. Listen, we're stopping too soon. Look at the next verse and look at what Paul tells us here in verse 10. "For to us, those things that eye doesn't see, that ear doesn't hear, those things that haven't entered into the heart of man." Look at what Paul says. He says, "For to us, God revealed them by the Spirit." In other words, those things that we can't naturally perceive, God wants us to perceive by the Spirit of God who lives within us. He's telling us God wants to speak to us. "For who among man knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know." Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, but we can know by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. "So that we may know the things freely given to us by God." Brother and sister, my message to you today is that God wants to speak to you. God's got a word for you. God wants to commune with you. And if you'll open your heart and listen to the Lord, then we can hear from God, and faith will come, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. We have to make that choice to hear the word of the Lord. And let me just share this with you. When I'm talking about hearing the voice of God, I'm not talking about hearing an audible voice, okay? I'm not certifiable. I don't hear an audible voice when God speaks to me. Although I believe God can do that. I mean, I fall into the camp that says God can do whatever God wants to do. And God spoke at the baptism of Jesus and he said, "This is my beloved son." And people around there thought it was thundering. They didn't recognize the voice of the Lord, but the voice spoke. And when the apostle Paul was on the, or when Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus and God visited him and knocks him to the ground and says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And the voice was audible because those that were with Saul, they heard a sound, though they couldn't identify the voice. So God can certainly do that. I've never heard the voice of God in an audible sense. I don't know anybody who's heard the voice of God in an audible sense. I would probably think they were nuts if they said they'd heard the voice. You get where I'm going with it. But look, God still wants to speak to us inwardly in our spirit by His Spirit who dwells within us. I've shared with you experiences that I've had of hearing the voice of the Lord when we started this church. After seeking the God with much prayer and just sensing in my heart a distinct impression what God wanted for my life, I heard, and when I say heard, I mean a distinct inward impression in my heart, I heard the phrase, Victory Christian Fellowship. And I knew what God wanted me to do. He wanted me to start a church. I remember years ago, in the church that I was raised in, every Sunday they had what they call, every year rather, they had what they call Layman Sunday, where one of the men of the church would get up and deliver the sermon. And after I was electrocuted, lost my arm and all of these things, and I'm in church one Sunday morning, and while I'm sitting there, and it's Layman Sunday, and the elder or whoever was at the pulpit there, and he's delivering the message. And as I'm sitting in this service, I hear in my heart, in my spirit, I have a strong inward impression that says this: next year, you're going to speak for Layman Sunday. Now, I've shared with you that story before, and I've told you, it freaked me out because public speaking was the last thing I ever wanted to do. Doesn't God have a sense of humor? He really does have a sense of humor. Standing in front of people always scared the daylights out of me. And when I heard that, next year, you're the speaker for Layman Sunday. And it just freaked me out. And I argued with God over that for a year. I said, "God, I can't do that." And I'd be anywhere, you know, I'm off doing something. And that impression would come back. For 11 months, that impression just, "You're going to be the speaker for Layman Sunday this year. You're going to be the speaker." And I wrestled for 11 months with that. And I told God so many times, "No, God, I will do anything else, but please don't make me stand up in front of people and speak. I can't do that, God." And after 11 months, I finally said, "God, if that's what you want, I will do what you want me to do." The next Sunday, after making that decision, one of the elders of the church came up to me and said, "Ken, we would like for you to be the speaker at Layman Sunday this year." And so God had been preparing me for it all the time. But look, God doesn't always speak to me that clearly. A lot of times when God speaks to me, it's simply an impression in my heart of something that's right or wrong. You ever been tempted to do something that, well, you knew in your heart it was wrong? That right there is telling you that God's speaking to you. Okay? That's God telling you, "Hey, dude, that's wrong." Okay? But you make plans to do it anyway, and you get this tight feeling in the pit of your stomach, you know, and probably shouldn't be doing this, and the whole time you're planning on doing it. And you're getting that tight feeling. I believe that tightness, that impression in your heart, in your gut, I believe it's the way the Spirit of the Lord speaks to us, to encourage us to do the right thing and resist the wrong thing. It's just an inward impression that we have from the Lord when He speaks to us. I was, just a couple weeks ago, I went over to the hospital to visit somebody. It was one of those days when the wind was just blowing, just howling around town, you know. And I get into the parking lot. I pull into the parking lot of the hospital. And I actually thought this. I thought, you know, I need to be careful opening this door because the wind could just jerk this door right out of my hand and just hit another car. I no sooner had got that thought out of my head than I opened the door and the wind blew the door, jerked the door, and it dinged up against the car next to me. Well, you know exactly what went on in my head after that happened because you've probably been there yourself. My heart is telling me, you need to own this. You've dinged that car. You need to own this. You need to be responsible. My head's telling me, this kind of thing happens all the time. There's no need in telling anybody what's going on here. My heart says, you need to own it. You need to do the right thing. My head says, if you leave now, nobody will ever know. My heart, I mean, this kind of thing is going on between my heart and between my head. But I knew, and this was, it was, I believe this was the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart, telling me to do the right thing. And I needed to do the right thing. Number one, first and foremost, just because it's the right thing to do. Okay? We need to do the right thing just because it's the right thing to do. And so I found one of my little cards, and I scribbled my phone number on it and stuck it in the windshield and that kind of thing. And he called later. And my point is this. When we hear the Lord, we need to be willing to do what God's telling us to do. Because if we are willing to do what God tells us to do when we hear Him, it will help us to become more sensitive to His voice and help us more easily hear His voice the next time He speaks. It works the other way too, though. If we don't do what we sense the Holy Spirit telling us to do, our hearts can grow cold, our hearts can grow hardened, and we can become less sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of the Lord and less likely to hear Him the next time He speaks. Yeah, we've all been there. We've all been there. You do something, you know it's wrong, you do it anyway. What happens the next time you're tempted to do that same thing? It's a little easier to go ahead and do it the next time. You don't have that discouraging voice. You're not hearing that discouragement in your heart so much anymore. The third time, it's a little easier. The fourth time, it's a habit. I mean, it's just who you are now. And you're not even hearing anything to discourage you from doing it anymore. And it's because your heart has grown hard and cold toward the inward prompting of the Spirit of the Lord. And we're shutting ourselves off to the voice of God. Now, here's the danger in that, guys. We can shut ourselves off to the voice of the Spirit of the Lord, but as we've said before, the time is going to come for every single one of us when we need to be able to lay hold of God and hear His voice. And if we have practiced disobedience, if we have practiced a hard heart, if we have practiced not following after that voice and shutting it down and not listening to it, when the time comes when we really need to hear from God, we're going to have a hard time hearing from God because we've trained ourselves not to listen. We've trained ourselves not to listen. How many of you know we can do that? Do I need to go back to husbands and wives? We can train ourselves not to listen, can't we? Tune it out. Just a buzz just goes right over. We can train ourselves. We can train ourselves to hear the voice of the Spirit of the Lord. It's just like anybody else. Becky and I. This will date me. How many of you know that years ago, your telephone didn't have caller ID. You didn't have a distinctive ringtone for everybody who called you so you knew who was calling before you ever answered the phone. When I was a kid, the telephone rang one way. You didn't know who it was until you answered it. And when you answered it, you had to get it off the wall because it was tethered by a curly wire to a wall. And you didn't know who it was till you answered the phone. But even back in those days, Becky and I talked to each other all the time on the telephone. Yes, we're that old. And we talked to each other so much on the telephone, we recognized each other's voice. Just because we spent time in communication, talking, listening to each other. When I call her, I didn't have to say, hey, this is Ken Parrish. You know, the guy who married you a few years ago, you remember him? All I had to do was say, hey. And immediately she knows who, all she has to do is say, hey. And I know it's her because I've trained myself to recognize her voice. And you and I can train ourselves to recognize the voice of God when He speaks. God speaks to us in a lot of ways. God speaks to us by His Holy Spirit who lives within us. God speaks to us through the Word. As long as I'm dating myself, the Word of God, that Bible you've got in your lap there, that Bible is the Word of God. It's the voice of God. And if you get into the Bible and if you'll study the Word and study the Scriptures, you can train yourself to recognize the voice of God when He speaks to your spirit by learning how He speaks in the Bible. Again, when I was a kid, and a radio didn't find channels for itself. In fact, I can go back far enough to where you didn't punch a button and find a channel. You had a dial over here, a tuner. And yet, stop it, Rose. You had to tune in to the channel, okay? And, you know, you tune the dial, and it's AM radio. It's all there was back in those days. And you tune the dial, and you tune the dial. And finally, you find a radio station. And the closer you get to that frequency, the more clearly you can hear it. Now, if you leave it off the frequency a little bit, you get a lot of static. You get a lot of scratching, and you get a lot of popping and squealing and all kinds of other noises. But when you get to that frequency, boy, the music just comes through so crystal clear, and all that other stuff is gone. Listen to me. The Bible, brother and sister, the Bible is our spiritual tuner that helps us tune in to the frequency of the voice of God so that we can hear God clearly when He speaks to us. God speaks to us by His Spirit. He speaks to us through the Word. He speaks to us in prayer. How many of you understand prayer is supposed to be a two-way street? My hour is gone. Prayer is supposed to be a two-way street. We talk to God and we listen to God. See? We commune with God. How impolite would it be for me to come into the room and sit down and just talk at Becky for 5 minutes and then get up and leave and never give her an opportunity to say a word? What kind of relationship would that be? It'd be a short one, I can tell you that. But see, that we call that prayer today. We go down, we sit down, we talk to God for 5 minutes, and we get up and leave and never listen to anything God's got to say. Prayer is another place where God speaks to us. All these ways. And the point is this. You and I need to learn how to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of the Lord. When we learn to recognize the voice of God, faith will come as we listen. God will speak. God will declare a thing. God will make a promise. And because now we recognize, hey, this is God speaking to me. This is God speaking. Now we know what God wants to do. Now we've got a basis for faith. We've got something to cling to. We've got something to hold on to. We've got something to stand on. And now that faith has come, and we've chosen to believe, we've opened the door to the activity of God in our lives. And God can show Himself strong. And God can bring blessing. And God can glorify Himself by what He does in our lives. My time is gone. Thank you for yours. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You today for the privilege that You have given to this scared little boy to speak Your word. I pray today, Father, that somehow, and only as You can, that you have spoken something through this message or even during this message this morning that has encouraged each one of us in our spiritual journey. I thank you again for your great love for us. So great that you want to have communion and fellowship and conversation with every one of us. Thank you, Father, for giving us ears to hear today, for teaching us how to tune into your voice, to become sensitive to what you're saying. Give us a willing heart, Father, that we would be willing to do whatever's necessary to put ourselves in a position to hear you clearly. Help us to tune in, Father. We thank you that as we listen, faith will come. And as faith comes, so comes victory. We praise you for that. Father, beckon my heart's desire today is to know that the people that come to this church know their God, and by Him experience His great exploits. God bless these people today, every one of them. Bless them with your presence. Bless them with your word. Bless them in your love. Bless them with your peace. I thank you for making it so in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Father. I pray that today, Father, you have made a difference in us so that we can leave this place and go make a difference in the world. Watch over and keep these precious people, Father, in your hand, the sheep of your pasture. Fill us all fresh with your Spirit and the joy of your presence. We're going to sing our song of dismissal today, and if we can pray with you about anything personally after our service is over, if you'll come to the front of the church and give us just a moment to say goodbye to folks, we'll come and pray with you about those personal needs in your life. Would you sing with us today as we're dismissed? In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day till your likeness may be seen in me. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Have a great day.